During his reign, Lysia seems to have joined the Delian League of the Greeks. Now, remember, I talked about the Delian League in the last lecture. This was a navy run by Athens that used its ships to protect the seas from Persian invasion and also was able to break the rule of the Persians along the west coast of Anatolia. So it seems that during the 5th century BC, during the reign of Cuperli, he joined the Delian League and actually for a time broke free of Persian rule. What it meant was that he was not quite independent. He still had to pay taxes to Athens, but it was not the same thing as being part of the Persian Empire. It's clear that Cuperli was very aware that he now was at the helm of his own kingdom. He immediately rebuilt the citadel of Xanthus, fortifying it with large walls in case of invasion, and he also erected a large temple on the citadel, thought to be perhaps a temple to the goddess Artemis. And he also erected a series of impressive tombs to honor his family, once again in public places. Now, his family, of course, had been put into control of Lycia by the Persians. And so, without Persian rule, or without Persian authority, it's hard to know how he could maintain his rule over Lycia. But he seems to have done so, and the only way we recognize this is through the coinage that was left behind from his reign. He seems to have been minting coins in every city throughout Lycia, which indicates that he had actually gained power and maintained power over the whole region. Now, his coins are interesting. We talked about coinage already, about the origins of coinage in Lydia, and I talked about how Lydian coins usually had images of animals on the front. So by the 5th century BC, most cities would mint coinage that would have the symbol of their god on the head's side, profile image of a god or goddess, and on the tail's side would be an emblem that seemed to be relevant to the city. Many of the coins minted by Cuperli, interestingly enough, bear his portrait. They show an older bearded man wearing a Greek-style military helmet. Now, it's probably an idealized image of the king. We don't have any other indication of what the king looked like, but it's the earliest known ruler portrait in the world. And of course, if you think today of any of our coins in America that show presidents, you get the idea that it's very commonplace to have the image of a human on the heads of a coin. But until King Cuperli, it hadn't been done. And this may well have been a way for him to celebrate his control over all of Lycia, since he seemed to have been minting these coins through various parts of his small kingdom. Now, he was able to maintain his independence from the Persians because of his alliance with Athens. But for some reason that we still do not understand, relations with Athens went sour. An inscription from a tomb of a man thought to be Cuperli's grandson, a man named Cariga, boasts that he repulsed an Athenian invasion, killing 7 Greek soldiers single-handedly. So it would seem that by the end of the 5th century BC, Lycia had gone back under Persian rule. But it was still ruled by this same family, this same dynasty that Cuperli and Cariga belonged to. Now, during the first few decades of the 4th century BC, it would seem that various local factions, other small-time rulers of Lycia, tried to gain control of the region. And the last of the kings from this dynasty that was put in place by the Persians is a man named Arbinus. And although he ultimately lost control of Lycia, he created one of the greatest of the Lycian tombs, the so-called Nereid Monument. And as I talked about, the Lycians favored very, very visible tombs covered with sculpture. And that's what this tomb is all about. The tomb was designed to resemble a temple with a huge marble podium, like a tower, that was decorated with reliefs showing mythical scenes of battle. The reliefs also showed King Arbinus, dressed like a Persian, holding court. The upper structure of this tomb took the form of Ionic capitals that supported a roof, and standing between the capitals were beautiful representation of women, personification of water nymphs or perhaps breezes, that were standing between the columns with the drapery pulled against their bodies by the wind. Now, in the 19th century, this entire monument was removed from Xanthus and taken to the British Museum and re-erected. So if you want to see the Nereid monument in virtually mint condition, you can't see it in Turkey, you need to go to the British Museum. But nevertheless, you'll get a wonderful idea of the magnificence of this monument.